Okay, turn to Proverbs 11 and verse 4.
Keep this pace up, we might be done in 6 years instead of 8. So,
Proverbs 11:4 says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." Riches profit not in the day of wrath. Let's define the terms. Riches are abundance of means or of valuable possessions, wealth. Also, in certain constructions, the possession of wealth, the condition of being rich. To profit is to make progress, to advance, to go forward, to improve, prosper, grow, increase in some respect. And wrath is vehement or violent anger, intense exasperation or resentment, deep indignation, righteous indignation on the part of the deity. So if we put the definitions into the verse, in other words, having an abundance of means and wealth, being rich, will not cause one to make it through God's vehement and violent anger unscathed on the day of judgment. Now, it's interesting that riches don't profit in the day of wrath. They do profit. I'll talk about that in a minute. They don't profit in the day of wrath, but treasures of wickedness, they don't profit at all. And we already looked at that in Proverbs 10 and verse 2 a while back, where it says, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death." So treasures of wickedness would be riches, or could be riches anyway, you know, riches that you got ill-gotten. Those kind of riches, they don't profit at all, period. Regular riches can profit, but they're not going to profit in the day of wrath, and we'll talk about that. Rich men think they will, of course. Rich men think that their wealth will protect them. Proverbs 18:11. It's their confidence, it's their strong tower, it's you know, what they put all their trust in. Proverbs 18:11 says, "The rich man's wealth is his strong city and as an high wall in his own conceit." The high wall, the wall around the city, it's the thing that protects you. If you were in a walled city, you'd feel pretty safe. Well, rich men feel pretty safe because they think that their riches are this wall around them and nothing could ever happen to them. But you know, that doesn't always happen. There's a guy named Sam Bankman-Fried. You guys probably haven't heard of him, but anybody that's in the cryptocurrency world, which I'm not, but I do kind of hear about it, knows about this guy. Anybody that's been watching financial news knows about him. He owns some crypto exchange called FTX, and it was this gigantic Ponzi scheme. It was worth, allegedly, like $30 billion or something. I mean, this guy was filthy rich. He was the second biggest donor to the Democratic Party next to George Soros, and the whole thing was a great big Ponzi scheme, and it just all collapsed, and it's worthless. He's in jail in the Bahamas, and they're going to extradite him back to the U.S., and yeah, it's a... Anyway, there's a guy that was on top of the world. I mean, a multi-billionaire, and on paper anyway. And he was basically just stealing all of his customers' deposits and using it for himself and investing in other companies, buying up other companies. And so classic Ponzi scheme. But so anyway, his wealth was a strong city. Didn't work out so well for him. But riches will not save men from death. They're going to die just like everybody else. Doesn't matter how rich you are. I'll just give you a verse in Psalm 49, 6 through 12. I probably have mentioned him before, but I always think of Steve Jobs. There's a guy that was a billionaire. I'm sure he had access to the whatever best medical care, conventional or natural or whatever, anything you could possibly imagine. And guess what? He died. Just like anybody else, withered away with cancer and died. So when God's ready to take you, no amount of money is going to keep you here. Psalm 49, 6 through 7, it says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." So you're certainly not going to save somebody's soul with your money, which is basically what Arminian churches think that they do. I mean, they think they give to missionaries, the missionaries go over there, they preach the gospel, and they save souls. So they think that they can redeem their brother from the curse of judgment by money, essentially. I mean, they'd never put it that way, but, you know, you got to have money, you got to send the missionaries, you got to fund them, right? And well, the Bible says you can't do that. That it should still live forever. So he's not going to give God a ransom for him, that he should still live forever, if you jump over the parenthetical clause there, and not see corruption. So he's going to die. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. So they think that their wealth's going to last forever, that they're going to last forever, but they're not. They're going to die, just like everybody else, and chances are their kids are going to blow it all, and eventually that great name that they built for themselves is going to go the way of all the earth as well. And in fact, actually, people that trust in their riches sometimes will check out earlier than they would have otherwise. So far from keeping them alive for a long time, it may end up in their early demise, like the man in Luke 12, 16 through 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And as I've said many times, that last verse is the key to it. Having wealth is not the problem. Not being rich toward God is the problem. Keeping it all for yourself and trusting in it, that's the problem. And that's why that man was taken early. And we're told in Proverbs 11 and verse 28 that they that trust in their riches shall fall. Proverbs 11, 28. It says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. See, the righteous and a man that trusts in his riches are set in contrast here together. Now, the righteous man could be rich. Abraham was rich, David was rich, right? Solomon was rich, but they didn't trust in their riches. See, the righteous is set in contrast to those who trust in their riches. That is not righteousness. Trusting in your riches is sinful and dangerous. And if you want to hold on to your riches, the last thing you want to do is trust in them. Because as soon as you do that, God will take them away. If he sees you, and you don't have to tell people you're trusting in them, all you have to do is trust in them in your mind, in your heart. And God will take those things away. You think, oh, you know, I've got this money laid up and I'm not worried about anything. I'm going to be fine no matter what. And all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. Very quickly. God will take that away. He doesn't want anybody trusting in anything or anybody like you trust in him. Now, when God's wrath is kindled and he judges a nation severely, money can become nearly worthless. You know, riches profit not in the day of wrath. This is a good example of that in 2 Kings 6 and verse 25. You could have saved up a lot of gold and silver and been a very wealthy man in, I think it was actually in Samaria, in this case. I believe it was Samaria. You could have been very wealthy in those days. But during this siege that happened, your wealth wouldn't have bought you anything because there's nothing to buy, right? So there is, you know, God has a way of humbling even the most wealthy when it comes to the day of wrath. 2 Kings 6 and verse 25, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. That's some pretty expensive dove's dung. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do with it except use it for cooking or something, but there's probably nothing to eat, nothing to cook. So that just goes to show you that when things got so scarce, the people were willing to trade their money for just about anything. Like even an ass's head would be something you could eat. Right? So riches profit not in the day of wrath. In this case, this is a temporal wrath of God. Right? This is not the second coming. I'll talk about that in a minute. But gold and silver will not deliver a man from the wrath to come. Whether it's temporal, like it was in Samaria, or like it was in Jerusalem with the Babylonians, or Jerusalem in 70 AD, or like it's been in many, many cases throughout this world, all over the place. I mean, there's day of wrath that has come for many people and many nations, and when that happens, their money's not going to save them. But it's also true of the second coming. When the second coming of Christ comes, all the money in the world is not going to change that. If you're on the receiving end of that judgment, doesn't matter how much money or how much stuff or how much protection or how many weapons or anything you have, none of it's going to save anybody. Let's look at Ezekiel 7 and verse 19. It says, "They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity." This is a prophecy of the judgment of that was to come to the Jews. Their silver and their gold wouldn't do anything. It was not going to profit when the Lord's wrath came. Let me give you another example in Zephaniah 1 and verse 18. Zephaniah 1:18. Now you may be thinking, okay, well, yeah, then who cares? Why would I even save up money? Because it's not going to save me. Just hold on. Hold on to that thought. Zephaniah 1 and verse 18. It says, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." There were people in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD that tried to take their wealth with them when they tried to flee the city, and they swallowed their gold coins. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the Romans found out about it, and they cut them open. And probably a lot of people didn't swallow their gold coins, and they got cut open anyway to find out who had them. Yeah, your wealth is not going to save you in the day of the Lord's wrath. James 5, 1 through 3. James 5, 1 through 3. I mean, I think about, like, Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, and when they had that civil war there, and they found him, dug him out of some place he was hiding in, and I won't even tell you what they did to him. It was just despicable and horrible. But that guy was a leader of a country, right? The dictator of a country. I don't know if he was a dictator, but anyway, he was the leader of a country, and I'm sure enjoyed fabulous wealth, as most of them do. And guess what? In the day of wrath, that wealth didn't do him one bit of good. Saddam Hussein was found down in some well with like $750,000 cash down there. Didn't do him any good down at the bottom of that well, did it? Nope. Richest prophet not in the day of wrath. James 5, 1 through 3. "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Okay, so there's going to come a time when people's riches are going to be no value to them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Like I said, this is true of temporal judgments from God on this earth. This is also true of the final judgment on Judgment Day. Now, somebody might be thinking, okay, well, then what's the point? May as well not save up any money. May as well not have any money because it's not going to help in the day of wrath. That's absolutely true. Riches are not going to help you in the day of wrath. Mm-hmm. Not at all. But they will help you in the day of trouble. They won't help you in the day of wrath, but they'll help you in the day of trouble. Let me give you some examples. When your house needs a new $15,000 roof, having enough riches to comfortably write out a check to take care of it profits you. Doesn't profit in the day of wrath, but it profits in the day of trouble. when your roof is leaking. When your basement starts leaking and requires a $20,000 foundation repair, and don't kid yourself, I know people this has happened to, having enough riches to comfortably write out a check to take care of it profits you. When you need a new $20,000 septic system, having enough riches to comfortably write out a check to take care of it profits you. When your house needs a new multi-$1,000 heating and air conditioning system, having enough riches to comfortably write out a check to take care of it profits you. When your car breaks down and it takes thousands of dollars to fix it, having enough riches to comfortably write out a check to take care of it profits you. Right, Carissa? When your car dies, finally, as they all do, and you need $10,000 to $20,000 or more to replace it, having enough riches to comfortably write out a check to take care of it profits you. When an unexpected $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 or more dollar health problem happens, which is not covered by insurance, having enough riches to comfortably write out a check to take care of it profits you. Yeah. Yes, exactly. When your spouse needs to live in a nursing home at the cost of $50,000 to $60,000 per year for a few years, having enough riches to cover the expense without losing your house profits you and your children. Or when your children, parents, siblings, or friends fall on hard times, having enough riches to comfortably write out a check to help them profits you and them. And these things are not outliers. These things happen all the time to people, and probably a number of them are going to happen to every one of you.
I put in a septic system last spring.
Yeah, and you're fortunate enough to be able to do it yourself.
And very thankful.
And having a boss that lets you use the equipment. But the average Joe is going to write out a $20,000 check when that happens. Or, no, actually he's not. He's going to go with $20,000 into debt somehow and, you know, pay on it for who knows how long. But so, yeah, those things are going to happen. So just because riches don't profit in the day of wrath doesn't mean they're not important. They profit in the day of trouble. I mean, money is not the most important thing in life. But try living without it. And you're going to find out that it's pretty important because it can make your life pretty miserable when you don't have any. Now for the second part. But righteousness delivereth from death. Let's define the terms. Righteousness is justice, uprightness, rectitude, conformity of life to the requirements of the divine or moral law, virtue, integrity. Deliver is to set free, liberate, release, rescue, save. Now especially to set free from restraint, imminent danger, annoyance, trouble, or evil generally. So in other words, those who are upright conform their lives to the requirements of God's law and have virtue and integrity will be saved from death when God judges a nation or the world in the day of his wrath. So riches aren't going to profit you in that day, but righteousness will profit you in that day. You notice how riches are contrasted with righteousness in this verse. Righteousness delivers, riches won't, in that day, right, in the day of wrath. Whereas riches will not profit nor deliver a man in the day of wrath, righteousness will, as I just said. The righteous who fear and trust God will be delivered from death and kept alive in famine. I'll just give you a verse here that should comfort you. We hear about food shortages and there's food processing plants that have been burning down at crazy rates recently, all over the place. Just weird. You see, I've read reports about it. I mean, there's the occasional, you know, plant that burns down, just happens normally, but there have been way, way too many of them burning down, you know, within the last year or so. So there's something going on here. Somebody's trying to cause some trouble. But remember this verse. Remember this verse. Psalm 33:18-22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Doesn't matter if they burn down every food processing plant. the Lord can keep us alive. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. So yeah, righteousness will deliver from death because the Lord will take care of the righteous. He'll deliver their soul in death, in famine. Those who trust in their riches will fall, the Bible tells us, but the righteous will flourish. Proverbs 11 and verse 28. Proverbs 11 and verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. I think we already looked at that verse. The righteous is contrasted with the man that trusts in his riches. Now, rather than grasping at riches, the righteous lay hold on Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 and verse 3. Colossians 2, 3. If you're going to grasp onto something and not let it go, hold on to it with white knuckles, let it be Christ, let it be your faith in Christ. That's what you want to hold on to. You can hold on to that for dear life. You can trust in that with everything you have. That's not going to be taken away. But when you trust in your wealth or your riches or your youth or your strength or your abilities or whatever, all that stuff can be taken away and will be if you trust in it. Colossians 2 and verse 3. In whom, speaking of Christ in the previous verse, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, Jesus said to sell what you have and give alms and you'll have treasure in heaven, right? So there's a treasure that you can lay hold on that will transcend this world to the next. Those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will not be destroyed like the wicked who trust in their riches, but they'll be like a green olive tree flourishing in the house of God. Let me give you the verses. Matthew 6 and verse 33. First of all, Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the basic things of life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Right? All those basic needs, you seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, which means that you seek to attain God's righteousness. And how do you do that? But by keeping his commandments. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, we're told, right? So you seek God and seek to obey him, and all these things, these temporal things, will be added unto you. This person won't be destroyed like the wicked who trust in their riches. Psalm 52, 5 through 7. Psalm 52, 5 through 7. It says, God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. So that's what happens to the guy that didn't trust in God, but trusted in his wealth, strengthened himself in his wickedness. Think of somebody like Bill Gates, right? That'd be a good example. Somebody like that, those guys, yeah, they'll be rooted out of the land of the living. One of these days, they're going to get what's coming to them. But the righteous are going to be like an olive tree that are flourishing in the house of God. Let's look at the next two verses, verses 8 and 9. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. See, David was going to get his riches later. Right? The wicked had theirs now, and they're going to lose it, but he'll get his later. And the saints who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ will be delivered from death on the last day. Right? Righteousness delivereth from death. Let's look at Revelation 19. Just a couple of more verses here. Revelation 19 and verse 5. I'll show you the ultimate fulfillment of righteousness delivering from death. Now, of course, this righteousness is imputed, imparted righteousness. These people didn't make themselves that way. This righteousness comes from Christ. Revelation 19 and verse 8, it says, "And to her," this is to the bride of Christ, to God's elect, "and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." So she was given that fine, clean linen. You know, she didn't buy some Clorox and make it herself, right? It's like Joshua. Not the Joshua you're probably thinking of. Joshua the high priest in the book of Zechariah. And Joshua was clothed with filthy rags. You remember that? It's in Zechariah chapter 3. See, I told you two more verses. You made a liar out of me. If you'd have remembered where it was, I would only have one more verse. Hopefully I remember where it is. Zechariah, I think it's chapter 3. It's been a long time since I've looked at this passage. Yeah, Zechariah 3 and verse 3. "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him, and unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by." Remember what it says in Isaiah, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And here Joshua is clothed with filthy garments. This represents Joshua. This is the high priest, right? So this is not just some, you know, drunk in a gutter somewhere. This is the high priest. And the high priest of Israel, his righteousness is his filthy rags. He's clothed in filthy rags. And they take that garment from him, and they give him a new clean garment. He made him righteous. "I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee." So that's how the bride of Christ in Revelation there was clothed with righteousness. Right? Same way. That old filthy garment, our sin, was taken from us, and in exchange, a brand new one, a clean one, washed in the blood of Christ. Those people that are washed in the blood of Christ will be delivered from death on the last day. Revelation 20 and verse 9. Revelation 29, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them all." So they were delivered right there. 11th hour deliverance. Now, a lot of people were martyred before that, but guess what? They were delivered too. Yeah. Delivered from this old sin-cursed body, delivered from this life, and went to heaven, as we've been looking at in the heaven study. So I guess if I was going to sum up this verse, invest in riches for the day of trouble and invest in righteousness for the day of wrath. Because riches aren't going to save you from the day of wrath, but, you know, money will. Or that's not what I meant. Yeah. Let me say that again. Riches aren't going to save you from the day of wrath, but righteousness will. But money will save you from the day of trouble. That's what I was trying to say. Thanks for listening tonight.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.